We are running against the clock, but nevertheless, we will press on with a couple of questions for our panelists. If you could just take seats at the mics, Fiona, Ben, and Helen. Just quickly do two, three very quick questions before we have our closing plenary session. I believe we have roving microphones. Usually, can you please put your hand up for a question so you can ask Benjamin a question, ask Helen a question, ask Fiona. Everyone gets a question. Okay.
Thank you for everybody. This very fascinating panel session. I have one question to Helen. I would like to ask about the letters the players wrote. How they were selected as to the publication, and are there the original letters available still?
There are no original letters available. Ian Trout, the first time he publishes the letters in the magazine, which is in issue 3, says in his banner headline, thank you for all your letters. These all sound incredibly complimentary. That's because I've binned all the bad ones. So whether that was Ian just being playful, there is a letter in one of the later ones in the early 90s that has an absolute go at them and rips into them for their tired old graphics and that they should be making kind of games that should more dynamic, etc. And the then editor, which was no longer Ian Stephen Hand, he writes, if you happen to look at the dates these games were published, some of them were published over 8 years ago. You know, it's a testimony to their design of games is that they're still being played, even though it is within this small community. Yeah. Well, you know, a large enough community to support a company, but not in terms of games in general.
Do we have more questions? Do we have a question for Veronica?
Well,
I'll ask one then. Veronica, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. I wanted to touch on this wonderful concept of emergent gameplay. Was that the terminology you were thinking of at the time? Is that something that you were looking at something to emerge, or did you have a different language for the sorts of outcomes you were looking to produce? Because in my memory, that's a relatively new term. Is that right?
Yes, it is a new term. I did not have a concept of emergence at all at the time. I actually read about that much later in science fiction, towards the early 90s, I would say. At the time, the concept that I had was randomness and interaction of randomness. When you have three or four things happening randomly and those things begin to interact, that was about as far as my thinking had gone at that point in time. And it wasn't till much later that I started reading about science fiction that was talking about emergence of intelligence in aliens or in nature. And in retrospect, I started being able to see that I was actually on the similar path. But that was a good, I want to say, 6, 7, 8 years after I had written the game and moved on.
One more question before we prepare for our closing plenary. Who wants the lucky dip? Who wants to be part of this history? Who wants to rise to the challenge?
It's for Helen. It's for Helen. The one thing I would add to your presentation is that the player as designer idea, you know, the participation of the player, I would push back to the board games of the 1970s,
oh, yeah.
Of course. Oh, so you do that. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Dunnigan, of course, wrote a lot about that, about, you know, these highly intelligent players, many of whom, the experience of playing those games didn't even involve setting the game up and punching the cardboard. Just reading the rules and critiquing the rules and then thinking of other rules and all of that sort of thing. And that was very important, I think, in feeding into the way war games developed on the computer.
I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear, because what I was hoping to convey is that it was that capacity is what players wanted in computer games. And that's what SSG was trying to deliver with their scenario system. But they also needed to make transparent what the computer was doing to those players who wanted.
Perfect. Thanks.
Well, I'll just say that I think the what the Hobbit asked of players and what complex war games ask of players is to rise to a challenge of intelligence to match the system which you're faced. And I'm also reminded of the way that the last interesting years of Dungeon Magazine and Dragon Magazine were before the Wizards of the Coast invasion. They started to get really intense specific design detail because there was no market for those magazines either, so they became really interesting design documents at that time as well. And also, I'll say, some of those reviews of those Neo Geo games are incredibly negative. Some of the Neo Geo games that moved across to the arcade were incredibly rich, and if you couldn't find more depth to them, then maybe get out of games journalism.
It's not a personal bias, is it?
Listen. I want to thank Veronica for coming in via satellite and airplane as you've come in. So thank you very much, Veronica. We close now with a round of applause and prepare for our closing plenary. Please stretch your legs.